bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
It's the Mac Show.
Carry on.
Sorry to interrupt the conversation with the reason we're here. We're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news, and we've discussed Ricky Martin's sexuality up until this point before we started. So if you want that, I'll be on the VIP channel in a few weeks with some bleeps in it, because otherwise we're going to get our arses sued. We're going to discuss the week's Macintosh news. It's 1 week on since WWDC. It's finished. It's all been and gone. And we've got some people making a welcome return to the show. Top left, in absolutely stunner-vision, it's Don McAllister. Wow. Where you been, boy?
Oh, I've been around, you know, been busy, been doing this, bit of that, you know. But, it's nice to be back. It's been ages, actually. It must be 6 weeks or so since...
Couple of deals, eh?
No, just working and entertaining. We had some visitors and we went off for some holiday and stuff. But back to the nose to the grindstone now, back in the throes of producing the weekly show.
The jet is parked back on the drive and you got yourself back on the Mac Show. Good lad.
Yeah. And I've tweaked up the settings on the... I honestly don't know why the picture is so crystal clear today, apparently.
You've got lip sync as well, which...
Really?
Yeah, no, man, it's incredible. I've never had this much bandwidth in my life.
Oh, well, it's all good.
It just proves it's not me that's the frigging problem. I've been looking inward. I've been thinking it's all me. It's my fault. It's a shit show because of me. But no, it's not. Next to him... Joining us last minute edition again, I do apologise for constantly asking you in this as a substitute, Jeff. Jeff Gamet, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and I understand my place in the food chain here.
No, not at all.
But you know what I really want? I want to have Stunavision so I can look as sharp and sexy as Dawn.
Grr, baby, very grr.
See, I think my heart just skipped a beat.
Excellent. We like that. Don doesn't, but never mind. beneath Jeff, even. Kelly, how you doing, girl?
Not bad. How are you guys? I wish I looked half as good as Don McAllister after
Well, you're
dark,
much
but, you
improved.
Know.
You're much improved. You've got lip sync. You're in Clarity Vision instead of 8-bit. And you sound stunning, woman.
Thank you.
What's the secret? Have you had your vocal cords adjusted?
I don't think so.
Bass or something. Hello. No, you've got a product on test, haven't you?
Well, that too, but it's also the magic of time zones, which means I've just woken up, and so
the gravelly voice is the fags and the lack of sleep. No, there you go. The bandwidth's crapped out. That's stopped that then, hasn't it? Has everyone gone? Everyone's gone. Holy shit! Padoom! Oh, man alive. I might as well stop recording then. Next to Kelly. Yeah, we're back. It's okay. It's smooth and it's epic and it's seamless. You wouldn't have even noticed if I hadn't said anything. We've got DHM, who's gone from Chad to now being 8 foot tall. How you doing, pal?
Growth hormone. I'm going.
That's what's making you depressed, boy.
What the hell happened there?
Nothing. We're all fine. Keep talking before it all craps out again.
Excellent. Well, that's been a fantastic week. I'm glad that one's over. Hopefully next week will be better.
Where can we get a hold of you?
Well, there was no Mac news this week.
We should do that 1 week. We should just put out a show that's, hi, welcome to the Mac Show, introduce everyone and say, where can we get a hold of it, and publish it and be done. We'll do that.
The placeholder program.
We'll do that. In between everybody and paired up, because you and cocked up the bookings yet again this week. I am bloody useless. It's Kyle and Carl.
That's like we're cohabiting.
That does sound like... No, it sounds like Pinky
it's
and Perky.
It's the Bert and Ernie of the Mac Show.
Bert and Ernie.
It's the Carl and Carl Show. Coming live from the middle window.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert. Hey, Bert. Hey, doing, Bert. Hey, Bert.
Who are the two old grumpy bastards in the balcony?
Stettler and Waldorf.
There we go.
Waldorf, yeah.
So you could be Bert and Ernie, or you can be Stettler and Waldorf, depending on how you react during the course of the next 40 minutes or so. Morecambe and Wise, says Bat and Wench.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Double act of the century.
I'm Batman. No way in hell I'm Robin. No way in hell.
I'm not Morecambe, he's Batman.
Well, Carl's too frigging big to be Robin, mate. He'd fall out the sky.
Shit, I'm Robin.
Hinge and bracket. Bullwinkle.
Stop it.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Danger Mouse and Penfold.
Carl is a Penfold.
Bill and Ben.
Yeah.
Rodney and Del Boy.
Naturally, this crap happens when there's no news on a week, and that's you make fun of us.
Little and large.
Hey, I get that no matter who I am.
Oh, man alive. The thing is, as well, that we're on limited bandwidth here, and it's likely to crap out at any moment, and we're pissing around.
That's what we do best.
Have you seen
we're trained professionals.
Come on. It's the Three Amigos, eh? No. Anyway, the Mac Show. The Mac Show. Here to discuss Mac, talking Mac, dealing with all the Mac news. There is none this week. So, iOS, we've had it for iOS 7 now for a week. Don, we never got your thoughts because you haven't been here for 6 weeks. So, any thoughts on iOS 7? And particularly, I wanted to think about how people thought about iOS 7 kind of 1 week on, if you like.
It's sort of been up and down, hasn't it? Because the initial reaction was good, and then it sort of sunk in after 24 hours, and everyone threw their arms up in the air. And I think now people are starting to get used to it. And... you know, it's still very early days as well. I think the telling thing is that they haven't even got the iPad version ready, so it must be a really really early beta of iOS 7. Just wants to get it out for the WWDC. So I think we'll see some changes.
When I looked on to get the beta for my phone, I instantly expected to find the iPad one there as well as. Mm. That was the first point that it struck me that there was no iPad iOS 7 beta. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there is a version, but it's just not, you know, it's in alpha, so they can't really release it yet. So we'll probably see that in a couple of weeks. But, you know, it's certainly did polarize the design community. You know, some people are completely arms. Other people think it's the best thing since sliced bread. So I'm sort of in the middle. I sort of like it. I like some of the, I like the feel of iOS 7. The icons are certainly something that they sort of grow on you, but they can do so much, you know, so much more better than what they've got at the minute, and really need to revamp those. But, you know, underneath the hood, underneath the surface, with some of the extra functions, I think it's a really solid update.
God hates a fence sitter, mate.
I like it. If it wasn't the first beta, I'd put it on my proper phone and give it a good test, but I've been burnt by that before, so I'm not going to do that this time.
Well, you say I've been burnt by that before, but I've put it on my phone, and I've had no issues at all, apart from the podcast app doesn't work. Everything else works just fine, but podcast app does not work at all.
That's no great loss, then.
And the other thing is, I put it on Sharon's 4, because I was kind of, she hates me for it, because I was like, it works great on the 4S, actually. It's pretty smooth. It's not too bad. Mm-hmm. I'll see how it works on the 4. So I put it on her phone without her knowing. What have you done to my phone? And she rang me up yesterday from the house phone when I was on driving home, and she said, "My phone's died since you put this crap on it." And I said, "You mean iOS 7, darling?" She said, "Yeah, this phone died since you put my crap on it." She said, "It just stopped today. It went black, and I can't get anything up, and it's crap. I want you to put the old system back on because this is bloody rubbish." I said, "All right, darling, have you charged it?" And that unleashed another torrent of abuse. I'm fucking 45. And right, okay, darling. I'll fix it tomorrow for you. Well, I won't have a phone tomorrow. There's nothing I can do. I'll fix it tomorrow when I get back, no problem. So she's given me it this morning. She stomped off out the door. And I've charged it.
But there's no way you can tell her that.
No, I'm going to tell her that. I could be divorced by the morning.
Yeah, you can't say that to her at all. We can all ask at the bash. So did you charge your phone?
Oh, no.
There'll be a bunch of flowers for her at the bash. because she puts up with all the crap of doing this for a start, but taking the piss out of her in front of 70 people isn't going to be the best move I ever made.
we got a lot of feedback about the iOS 7 1 week on in our community pages as well, and doesn't seem to be very popular in there, I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, what were the main comments? A lot of people were talking about lagginess and stuff like that, but I can live with that because everything that I've complained about in iOS 7, and there's a guy called Calgary Guru who gave me a bit of a hard time on Twitter saying, you can't review a product that's in beta, that's just not fair. And I said, well, no, hang on, I can review the design because the design is got nothing to do with whether it's a beta or not. And I can reuse, you talk about the point sizes and those kind of things, because one of the things that I've found particularly is if you're driving, the point sizes are too small. So you're relying on Siri and you say, Siri, call Fred Bloggs. And he says, okay, I've got two numbers for Fred Bloggs. Which one do you want? And they're so small, you can't see which number to choose. So I think they've got some... They're talking about doing it for the car, that's fine, and it's Siri heavy, and that's fine. But in design terms, there's a lot of the text is way too small to manage on a driving experience.
Well, it's beta 1, though there's a chance they just haven't had a chance to... an opportunity to tune up the car experience.
Well, that's an alpha error, though, surely.
You know, I have been told that Apple is very aware of the concerns about font sizes and issues with contrast between colors, and that these are things that they are actively looking at.
I mean, Helvetica Neue is one of my favourite fonts. I love it. The light version of that is superb. I think it's absolutely stunning. And I love the fact that the clock is in that. But if you've got the light background on and then you get a white Helvetica Neue showing you the time, you can't see it.
Forget it.
It's pointless. They haven't thought about that. They should be intelligent enough to know, do you want it white or do you want it black? Because you've got to set a black background, otherwise you ain't going to see it.
Mm. Right.
And there's no choice there at all. Anything else that anyone's picked up on?
There's a whole lot of fussy designers out there that are saying, I don't like it, therefore it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Which is stupid. If you disagree with a choice, then lay it out like you just did with the font choice. Like, the font choice by itself is fine, but when you combine it with these other factors, it makes it hard to see. Or maybe even it's just if you had said... there's a whole lot of Helvetica Neue in here, and it's not a font that I prefer. I wish there were a way that I could make that different so that it's thicker, so that it's more readable, so that it's something that I like better to look at since I look at my phone 100 times a day. But nobody's doing that. It's something that the Angry Mac Bastard show calls Highlanderism. There can be only one. I am the one. I am right. All of you are wrong. And Highlanderism is a favorite, like, particularly amongst design people. I wouldn't have done it that way, therefore it's crap.
Yeah, no, I'm not like that.
Yeah, and it's super frustrating. And people, that's why I was surprised when Don said, the reaction's been mostly good, because I have seen very little from pundits or tech people, whatever it is that needs to be air-quoted here, from that group of people who have all decided they have forsaken iOS 7, the first beta, the first time anybody gets a look at it who doesn't work at Cupertino, they've all decided that they hate it. And, you know, apparently everyone thinks that the internet has the memory of a goldfish because everybody did the same thing whenever we got big changes in iOS 6 or iOS 5 or iOS 4 or iOS 3. Do you see where I'm headed with this? It's a trend. Anytime Apple does something different, everybody who says they're a designer completely pees their pants, and then we end up where we are. And really what it is just it looks okay.
It's different.
And right now I can't say anything about how it functions or even really how it looks because it's beta 1. And I personally can't say anything about it, first of all, because developer NDA, and second of all, because I live by the Star Trek rule of betas. I won't install the odd-numbered ones. I only install the evens.
No.
Because odd-numbered betas have nailed me in the past so bad. Like,
yeah, good call.
So I'm out. I'm out.
I think talking about the design of something when it's in beta is perfectly acceptable. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because they showed us that. You know, you're not breaching your NDA when someone stood on a stage and has shown the global public what this thing is going to look like.
Put it on my Apple TV, so anything they showed, I can talk about. But things are going to change. I mean, I don't remember which version of iOS it was, but it was a beta I was running. So it was probably... well, that doesn't help any. I was going to say it's probably 3 or 4 or 5. That narrows it down.
Well, it wasn't 4 because you... Oh, it wasn't 3 or 5 because you don't do the odds.
No. Not versions of iOS. Not the... No, like right now we're at iOS 7, which I'm going to install, but it's beta 1, which I'm not going to install. So I don't remember which beta version it was, but there was a beta and a bunch of icons changed. Maybe Jeff or somebody else remembers, or Don or somebody better than I do, but there was a point where... a new beta came out, and there weren't many dramatic changes, but, like, a bunch of the icons, like, they all changed color, or they all got reflecty, or they were all different. I don't remember what it was, but that was, like, the thing that changed, and it was, like, the ones that people were really complaining about, and it was, like, they just weren't done yet, so give it a chance. I really like the overall functionality and how everything feels like you're zooming in and then zooming back out again. When you look at the interaction in the system apps, I think that's very cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think just to go back to me, sort of my sort of take on people thinking it's good now. I mean, I think most of the positive comments I've seen have been from the developer community rather than from the design community, because they are completely all over the place. You know, people really hate it, or you know, they think they can do it better. But from the developer community, I think generally, you know, probably 8 out of 10 comments that I've seen from people have all been very, very positive. And people are really enthused about how they can sort of restructure or redesign their applications to fit in with iOS 7. And it was a bit weird for me, because whenever I get a beta, I'm always want to use it all the time. And I found with iOS 7 that I didn't really for the first couple of days. I sort of picked it up and played with it and put it down and picked it up. And then after about 4 or 5 days, I sort of warmed to it then. And then I would really like to put it on my phone now. I might do it... in another week or two, but you know, I sort of warm to it, and it's definitely the developer community that seems to be more enthusiastic than the design community. But you might expect that anyway.
So, you know,
all the developers I've spoken with have all said, "I can't even believe," and then they say a bunch of stuff I don't understand, but they are really excited about it.
I like it. I like the look of it. I think it's very good. I think one of the things that I find quite difficult is through my developer license, I submitted them a point saying your EXIF data is wrong. Because in every application I've got, it posts the image upside down, apart from preview. And it actually does it differently in each of your applications. So you've got to figure that out. I never got a response, and they haven't changed it. It still posts it wrong. The EXIF data is still incorrect, and it posts the image upside down in certain applications. And I think...
data problem has been there for years.
Yeah. What's the point? And then the next thing that I say is, you know... I can't submit a functional thing because I'm not actually a developer. I admit it. But if I said to them, I think the way that you would end up using it is wrong, and I think the point size is too small in certain circumstances, especially in driving, I wouldn't get a response, and I don't think they'd change it. There's a bit of developers, certainly outside of the technical element, where they just want to see, does it crash or not crash, that I think, do they actually even want to know what I want to say anyway?
No, at the end of the day, Apple doesn't give a shit what we think. I mean, seriously, I think at the end of the day, I don't think they really give a shit much of what we think. You know, I think that's Johnny Ives now at the controls, and he's kind of just saying this how it is. Stuff it. There you go.
I think
you guys are going to buy it, and you're going to love it, and you're going to use it, and mwah, mwah.
You sure? I think Johnny would be more open than Steve was back in the day.
You really?
All the feedback, all the stories I'm reading, mainly slagging off how the icons look. And it seems to me that if there's anything easy to change in iOS, it's icons, because companies do it all the time. Every time they do an update, they just change the icon every now and again.
But I don't think they change the icon, because that's a climb down.
They'll have to redesign it, then.
Icons are obvious placeholders. I mean, it's like 4-year-old gibbons in the... Rainforest could come up with better icons than some of the ones on that phone.
I'm taking it you don't like them then, DHM.
Hands up, anyone in the chat room that thinks, or anyone anywhere in the world that thinks the Safari icon is anything less than absolutely abysmal.
Oh, I haven't looked at the Safari icon. Hang on. I couldn't give a shit about Safari.
I don't think it's
colourful compass.
I got Google Chrome on. I hate the fact they've added a frigging FaceTime application, which is completely screwed. Wrong.
As a designer, I'm quite prepared. Actually, one of the things I like to think I'm better at is looking at stuff and saying, I couldn't have done that. I wouldn't have thought of that. That is excellent. I think it was quite easy for me. Or early on, I realised that there's like a sliding scale of how good you are as a designer, in which Johnny Ive in product design is right up at the top. And you can see when you're at that sort of level, you can prima donna around saying, oh, okay, you know, you hold this thing and it slices through your fingers and they all fall off. It's not a problem. We love it. But back down at my end of actually we're not that good as a designer, we're just kind of bumping along, you have to get used to sort of looking at stuff and going, yeah, they're really good. They know their shit.
Safari's pretty shit, has to be said.
And whoever did the Safari icon does not know their shit.
No, but the other ones look nice. I like the other ones. I like the simplicity of it.
That's the thing I keep hearing about. I like the simplicity. Yeah, I keep hearing that. Oh, the simplicity of it is great, but
simplicity is harder than complicated.
The thing about it is, though, is what annoys me about it is it's still literally. I said this last week. I think it's still literally the same home screen. I wish they would have changed it up a little bit. Something where it would give us a little bit more customization of what we wanted there. Honestly, a little bit like Android. Honestly. If they would have went that route, it wouldn't have mattered what the hell the icons looked like. Nobody would have cared. It would have been like this whole new user experience. And when I seen the keynote, they were like, we wanted to keep it familiar, but not. I'm like, oh, come on, give me a break. Come on, guys. It's more of, are you going to go out and actually physically try to do something different, or are you going to stay back and be conservative? And I think they've decided to be conservative. They've just changed the color. I think there's some great things under the hood. Don't get me wrong. I think the control thing is great. I think there's some really good ideas there. But as far as the overall design, I look at it and go, you've changed the color.
Windrider says Safari is poop. Batwench says, don't Gibbons throw poop. Adam is a little bit less tactful. He says iOS 7 looks shite. And Jimmy the Geek likes the clock and the calendar icons.
I tell you what, I'm just going to wait until it comes out in autumn and it goes on the new hardware, which they're probably going to announce at the same time, and then I'm going to decide if it's attracted me still or if I want to jump to Android at that point.
So, I mean, that is an interesting question, because let's say they introduce iPhone 6, 5S, whatever it is, and it's got iOS 7 on it, unchanged from the way it currently looks and functions, who would say, bollocks, I'm not buying the iPhone 5S now? Because of that,
I'm not buying the 5.0. Was exactly as it is now.
If let's say it worked and there's no glitches, that's all I'm saying. It's not a beta anymore. It's a golden master, and it was released with the iPhone 5S, but looked and functioned as it's supposed to, as it currently does. Would that make you go, stuff it? I don't want iPhone 5 unless I can put iOS 6 on it.
It would kill the iPhone dead.
Yeah, but people seem to be writing about stuff, which is hard for them because a lot of them are under like non-disclosure acts, but they're saying there's stuff there that wasn't shown off at the keynote for whatever reason, because it wasn't finished or whatnot. So that's why I'm also not rushing to judgment, not because I'm an Apple fanboy but anything like that. It's just you got to give them a chance to show us it finished. They put the beta out there to try and run all the bugs and stuff out of it, and I think they will listen. This amount of noise that's been generated through people complaining what it looks like, I think they will listen. And there will be changes. I'm not sure how drastic those changes will be, but I think they will.
It's good on earth, just the bugs, though, is it? They've also got to give the developers a chance to re-engineer their applications to fit in with the new sort of paradigms and the new way of working and the new design cues, etc. So, you know, it won't be just iOS 7 that you'll get on a new phone. You actually will get some redesigned apps as well from third parties. So, you know, it's such an early release that, you know, I'm sure it will magically fit in with the next version of the iPhone. You'll in 3 months' time or 4 months' time, you'll look back and you'll think, well, I know we were really worried, but they've done a good job in the end.
It's all designed by Apple. It's not going to look so different. I'll get me coat, says Alex Fox. There you go. Kelly, you're not the only one with a camp that's a camp in inverted commas. And I don't mean a camp as in gay, I mean a camp as in a camp in inverted commas where there's no tents. Apple is running a camp this year. They've got the filmmaker camp for kids. I've signed up for the notification of when it's available to register, because I thought this would be great for a list to go on. They do this kind of stuff, and I'm well aware of the fact that they're actually just... It's like McDonald's giving a balloon to your kid when they go for a Happy Meal. They're just making them want to come back. But should Apple do more of these?
Yes, they should.
Yeah. There you go. That was that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Why not? I mean, the tax incentive would be, you know, why not?
Well, there's a sales incentive there, isn't there, as well?
It sells, yeah, and tax. Tax, you know, good tax break. No, of course they should do it. It's good publicity. So, you know, why not? It's for the kids.
It's the same approach they used for years, though, to get an education. That's why they were. That's why they wanted to be in all the schools, was so that then everybody grew up using an Apple computer and would go on to use them the rest of the time. That was always, you know, hook them young. That was always part of their strategy, and then they kind of gave up on that. But I like the idea, and I like the idea that they're exposing kids to something that maybe they wouldn't be exposed to otherwise. Like, unless somebody now really wants to sit down and take their action figures. Yes, they do stand on my desk. And, you know, go make a little stop motion animation of their adventures, and all of a sudden decide one day they want to do that. A lot of times people will think it's really complicated. They'll think there's a lot of stuff that you have to have in order to do it, but you really don't. And so, much like App Camp for Girls, it's just going to be a way to expose people to something.
What's App Camp for Girls, Kelly?
Funny you should ask.
Oh, that's the promotional t-shirt you're wearing there that I haven't got in shot.
Yes. It's so what App Camp for Girls is a thing that Gene McDonald of Smile Software fame, and now of App Camp for Girls fame, which I'm really excited about, told me about last summer after she got back from WWDC. She sat down, we were having lunch together, and she said, I have this idea. And what happened was, I was at WWDC, and I was sitting in a room that held 5,000 people, and I couldn't see another woman from where I sat. And I said, wow, that's really kind of sad. And she said, yeah, I thought so too. I feel like we need to do something about it. And I said, well, what can we do? And she said, well, you know, Rock Camp, which is something that we have. I don't
Let's
know if
tell
you
all
have
the
that
boys to piss off.
So, well, Rock Camp lets you start at the end of, at the beginning of the week with a lot of enthusiasm. I really want to play the drums. I really want to play guitar. I really want to sing. And then by the end of the week, well, on the first day you form your band, and then at the end of the week you can play a song. And we're going to do the same thing with iOS apps, and we're going to do it for girls. And it's just going to be a week of learning. We're actually doing the beta camp next week. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's something that we've gotten a lot of support for. And
no kidding,
I really
want 65 grand.
Our goal was 50 initially, but now we're trying to think bigger, because what it means, the money is not for just getting the beta camp going, or just getting the beta camp going now and then the 1.0 camp in August. All of that money, the reason we needed a lot was because what we want to do is get the organization off the ground, so that then we can have App Camp Birmingham, App Camp Denver, App Camp Philippines. We want to be able to do this stuff everywhere. And so to do that, we need more money. We need to be able to create a nonprofit organization in another country. There's paperwork. There's people who are paperwork whisperers that we need to get in all these places. So that's what the money is going for. And the great thing about having more than our goal is that we can accelerate those plans.
Kyle, there you go. You can don a dress, and you can sneak yourself into App Camp for Girls Philippines.
What could possibly go
wrong? No, it's actually a great idea, because there's a lot of that over there. There's really, you know, just boys and girls, of course, you know, over here. There's a lot of great developers over here. In fact, I think you see a lot of actually in the App Store right now in iTunes. I know there's a lot that has actually been developed here in the Philippines. So that would actually be something I think that would be, particularly at an early age, of hitting, trying to get kids involved in that would be really, really good.
We're trying to do is just expose people to it. We want particularly girls before high school, because by high school you've kind of lost them. If they're not interested, if they don't know by then,
sorry,
you know, or they've been chased off by then you're not there. They don't usually come back to that. So we want to try and catch them before that happens. And also, a lot of times people, I think, are under the impression that unless you are hunched over a keyboard and all you do is type, then you're not actually coding. And there's a lot that you can do for an app to build something that has nothing to do with typing words into a screen and making something happen. So I think that that's the other piece of it, is explaining to kids that it's not necessarily that complicated, and that it may be something that they're interested in, sort of like you send somebody to golf camp or tennis camp or whatever it is, and, you know, and maybe they go, yeah, that's for me, or no, that's not for me. Well, and then, you know, for sure.
Batwench in the chat room has said that she wished there was an adult camp.
And that's next on our list, because we
that's called a swingers. That's called a swingers party, mate. That's. And she's also said, Kelly, if I batted for the same side, I'd marry you, because Miss Piggy's one of my icons. There you go.
She stands right on my desk next to Dr.
I'm not sure that's what she meant by adult camp, but I'd sign up. And the other thing is, Kelly, you do know you need one guy there, don't you?
Why?
Because you felt uncomfortable because of all the guys and a few girls, so you've got to have one guy there who's kind of like, yeah, see how it feels? Huh? See how it feels? Go report back to all your fellow men, say, see how it feels.
I thought you meant to catch a spider. Spiders, what you say.
Report them at the meeting. Yes.
Not a Black Widow thing. I'm not talking you stab him. Jesus. Steady on. There's images of iPhone 5S out there, allegedly. Now, this one I saw, which is supposedly the screen, digitizer, and I thought that was quite interesting because that looks thinner. It's as long, but it's thinner. Why would you want it thinner?
I think so.
Well, it looks thinner to me, and I've measured it. It's actually 2 millimeters thinner on the picture.
Which one did you measure? Because the one on the left looks thinner than the one on the right to me.
No, the one on the right's the thinner one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Perhaps they've reduced the bezel around the screen a bit, because it's
up to the edge now.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I guess. No, it looks up to the edge more on the 5 than the 5S.
That's the excuse I use when they say it's too small. I say I've reduced the bezel.
Yeah. I'm doing a scientific study by leaning forward and measuring it on the screen, and I can confirm that the one on the left measures 46 millimetres, and the one on the right measures 44 millimetres.
Well, they might be able to get the screen right up to the edge this time, because that might fit in with the new design aesthetic of iOS 7. Might make it look better.
And there's been... Go on, sorry.
I was agreeing with Don. That could be true. It could be just something to go with the new hardware.
You can also tell by the labelling, says Batwinch. Size does matter. And now this is a believable image. And they're talking about the fact that there's twin LEDs on the screen, on the camera on the back, to give you a much bigger punch on your flash and light.
Seems reasonable.
Well, if it's got a built-in flashlight now, don't forget, of course.
True.
That function's brilliant. I love that. Mm. I love that. Control center, up, flashlight on. Thank you very much. I can see in me van.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's funny. I always have a flashlight.
Nine calling. Always have a flashlight app on my home screen, so that's great. So that's
actually I'm the same way. See? Yeah, it's
crazy.
Me
too.
Sad. Middle aged men and women. Oh dear.
I'm scared of the dark.
Also, the Thunderbolt cable from Nomad has been approved. It's in production and it's shipping, and it's Apple certified as well. So this is a keychain. Effectively, but it's got a USB on one end and a lightning cable on the other. And I think this was a Kickstarter project, wasn't it?
All right.
Did anyone back it?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, I remember seeing this. I'm pretty sure it was a Kickstarter project. And I didn't back it, and I wish I bloody had now. Because that's awesome.
I wouldn't have me phone
it's
off
it's a cable.
No,
how
no.
How awesome can it be?
Oh, no. Oh,
cute. You think that, but you know, when you get that awesome cable, like when I first found retractable cables, I was so unbelievably excited about retractable cables because they took up so much less space. I didn't have to worry about anything tangling up. The other one that's awesome is this cable right here that I have, which has been my pick in the past, which is a nice little 30-pin cable. pow, and now it's a micro USB cable. And I only have to carry one cable when I want to go anywhere. And it fits in my purse. So, yeah, Kyle, there you go.
Oh!
People who are excited about cables,
that
right
was,
here.
You a bitch like slap there, dude. That was a Mac Show happy slap.
Look at this. Look at that.
Give us it, Don.
Triple cable.
Oh, we're going to do a cable competition.
USB, and then at the other end, you've got mini micro USB, you've got 30-pin, and you've also got a lightning connector as well. little dinky thing. It's brilliant. The only thing is it will only synchronize using the lightning connector, but you can use the other two for charging.
I don't care. My cable is longer than your cable.
Oh, here we go, Kyle.
Size isn't everything.
How long does that cable do?
I don't know actually how long it is.
It's not the
2 meters.
Length. It's the bandwidth.
2 meters.
That's 1 meter.
1 meter.
That's a yard, at best.
Yeah, it's a yard. It's a yard.
No,
that 3-inch cable though. It's a bit dear, isn't it? $25 though.
Well, it's an Apple cable. What do you expect? But it's not made by Apple. Admittedly. But the thing is, I mean, the one thing I hate is the only device that I've got is my Mac Mini that uses Lightning, and I've got one cable for it that is in one bag, and I don't want to spend another £15, £20, what it is to get another cable, and it's long, and it's I don't need this much. It's only going from the side of me sodding laptop to the thing, and 3 inches is a good length, and stuffed on my keyring. I wouldn't have to worry about transferring it from bag to bag because no end of times I turn up when I've come with a different bag and I've left the sodding cable with my pass to the building in another bag.
Is it just for charging I use that cable?
Yeah, I think that's all I want it for.
You can get cheap charging things from eBay and Amazon.
Can you get us a link, mate? And are they 3 inches long or are they long?
No, they're not 3 inches long, but all they do is charge. They don't do data transfer or anything like that. They just simply charge.
So you get one of those for £2 and stick them in every bag you got?
Pretty much.
What are you saying?
Mm.
All right, okay. Maybe I'm just... I've got too much money, clearly. Apparently, if you got too much money, you own an iPhone as well. Do you see what I did there?
Smooth.
Thanks, man. I've been learning my segues off Carl. If you've got... This is a hotspot image of data centres using iPhone and Android and BlackBerry and others, Symbian, presumably. And the red is apparently all affluent areas. If you've got money, you've got an iPhone.
Yeah, but is that a surprise? Because it's one of the most expensive things out there.
But you don't buy Android if you've got cash. Which means that the masses are using Android, the unwashed masses.
God, you're going to get in trouble.
If you use an Android, then you're clearly part of the unwashed masses.
I use an iPhone and I'm part of the unwashed masses.
Yeah, but you're
absolutely... We all use iPhones. It's called being in debt.
Yeah, 4 cars on the drive, sod all in the fridge. I just thought it was an interesting data map, that was all.
No, I know. It is interesting. Yeah, I don't know if it's more of that or is it just based on... I still feel when I'm out and about... I see more people using iPhones still than I do Androids. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's just more popular here in the Philippines that I see more people using iPhones than I do Androids. The Androids that I see are usually it's not the Samsungs or anything as such. It's generic brands that come out of China over here. There's, of course, I see a lot of people using Samsungs, but the majority I see are using iPhones.
Adam in the chat room says, unwashed masses my ass. iPhones are for people with money to turn. And presumably those that can type as well, mate.
All right.
Adam says Android users are intelligent. maybe not. What else we got in stories? YouTube has changed its iOS application so that now it gives you suggestions over what you want to watch of what you might also want to watch.
But the person who's done the video has to set that up.
Oh, they do.
So if you're doing it with your shows, for example, you'd say you might also like to see The Big Show, for example.
Right. I wouldn't want to piss everyone off that much because that, I've got to say, YouTube is becoming a pointless, unwatchable experience with the adverts that flop over the top of stuff. The ones that come at the start where you can say, right, after 4 seconds I can skip. You're like, okay, fine. You can add me 4 seconds. I get that. That's fine. You do need to make your money from somewhere, but now piss off, please. But the ones that pop up over the front of it and start saying stuff like, maybe you want to watch. No, I frigging don't. Give me the suggestions at the end of the video, bastards.
Yep. But if it's, if people get annoyed by that and they stop watching those videos, then their revenue is going to go down anyway. The revenue they get from YouTube.
So you're saying it's self-policing?
Hmm. If you want to put a ton of that stuff on and people get annoyed and say, right, I'm not watching any of your content no more because it's too darn annoying, then they won't get any money for advertising.
I wonder how much the Google does make
an ad pop-up that you specify that on your channel, don't you? You don't have to do it. It's a way of the channel owner generating some shared revenue.
That's it.
DHM, are you trying to not appear on your screen in all four corners during the course of this show?
No. Look at him. He's like, B23.
You haven't disappeared.
That's the picture I can see on Justin TV. There's no relationship to the one that I'm looking at on my screen, apart from the fact that there's a fat middle-aged man with glasses on. Other than that, I'm struggling to relate.
I've had to move it round 3 times now. All you've got to do is disappear off the right side of the screen and you've got a full set, mate. House. There you go. No, you're right. You're right. My left.
Kyle, 47.
Bingo!
Shazam. I gotta say, I find...
It smells like mustard!
What?
What? Sorry, it's an old man Simpson.
you sunk my DHM.
Where's that woman who feeds me?
I've got to say, American TV, when it's got, like, the screen that they're showing on that's got the presenter on, and then there's some crap down the left-hand side and some stuff across the bottom, and Sky are doing this with the sports channel. I look at it, I go, get rid of all that shit and let me watch what the person's saying. I want to see the talking head. Maybe it's because I'm old and middle-aged and a fat man wearing glasses, unquote, DHM. But...
Don't watch CNN.
Speaking of Sky News...
Yeah, go on.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
One.
So, got their update, didn't they? And, okay, all we got out of it was an anime channel, a music, live concert, and documentary channel, and Sky News, which I'm not too sure about. But at least they're still playing about. It's still tinkering. It's still a hobby.
And it is on Apple TV. And also, the Apple TV's got Hulu Go on it, is it? Or HBO Go?
HBO Go.
And ESPN, watch ESPN, but that's, you know, the thing about this, so here we go. It would be lovely if we could just get HBO Go just to go and don't have to have a cable provider for it. So there's three steps back. Mm-hmm. And then ESPN, if you're on some obscure provider or Comcast, then you can watch ESPN on your Apple TV. But if, like most people in the U.S. that watch sports, have DirecTV or at least Dish Network, those options aren't available. Complete and utter fail.
It's coming.
Go on, Kelly.
Yeah, HBO Go.
Coming to Dish. Jeff can probably tell you more.
Okay.
All right, so HBO Go, Dish took care of that yesterday.
And sweet.
Yeah, so that's done. And then as far as the watch ESPN, soonish. But if they move as fast as they did yesterday, it'll be like today-ish.
There's a point here from Bell's in the chat room, and he's saying in Canada we just get Quelo. But on the story I read, it said that Quelo was a Japanese TV channel.
The Crunchy...
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll. That's the Japanese anime channel.
Mm-hmm. So there's a Canadian in the chat room complaining about the Japanese and the Japanese anime channel.
Complain about it. Just the fact that there is one is a victory. You don't need to complain about it. They'll take it away from you if you do that.
And they've added it. I mean, you can go use parental controls and hide it if you're that unhappy about it. But I think...
Which one of those Japanese animation channels is it?
They're both subscription channels as well.
That's actually a thing that you can do. If there's apps on there that you never, ever use, like the iTunes Radio or the... I don't have Hulu Plus, and I'm probably never going to have Hulu Plus. So you can use parental controls and pick and choose the stuff that shows up and you can hide the things that you don't use. So if you're the person in America who doesn't use Netflix through your Apple TV, then you can hide it. Or if you don't ever look at the trailer app, you can keep it off the main screen. It's actually kind of cool.
Bells is begging to have it taken away.
Parental controls, honey. It's all you need to do.
And, yeah, and forget the password. And Bookery says, how come Quello doesn't have a U in it? And Winrider says, for the same reason that Qantas doesn't.
There is glaring omissions still in the UK market.
They still have to ration screen from the war.
Oh, sorry. The U's were rationed after the war.
Yes.
Okay, but only in Wales and New Zealand. Now, go ahead, Carl. What are you saying?
There is still a glaring omission from the UK market one, and that's still no iPlayer for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know why Apple and BBC can't get together on that.
Well, yeah, because they can stop us getting HBO, so they can stop the Americans getting iPlayer, surely.
You don't think it's a fiddly licensing issue with
BBC? Oh, of course it is.
BBC?
I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's all these things always are just fiddly licensing issues. It's a right...
Now,
pain.
I just want to hark back.
I can't put too hard, because I mean, iPlayer has become fairly promiscuous lately. I mean, obviously, it's on Xbox, it's on Wii, it's on everything.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
On.
But haven't you got AirPlay on iPlayer?
Yeah, there? I was going to say, can't you AirPlay? Can't you AirPlay?
You can AirPlay
iPlayer over.
No, you can. You absolutely can. And it used to be a tricky way you had to do it. It used to be a weird mirroring thing, but they've done away with that in the last update or so.
To the right and enable AirPlay, and off you go. But it was there and hidden, and now it's there.
There was an interesting point. I was listening to the media show.
It really does need to be on the home screen.
I just want to hark back to the media show.
What?
I was listening to the media show this week. You weren't on it, Carl. But Alex made a point about the Doctor Who having established actors to try and bolster Doctor Who in the past. And now Doctor Who's so popular that it actually promotes actors. And I thought that was a really good point. But the thing that struck me was, he said, I don't know why that is. And I thought to myself, that's because BBC has stopped screwing around with America. BBC America is now actually a watchable channel. You actually get stuff in a timely fashion. It's not
same day.
It's not a 16:9 that's floated in a 4:3 that then floats in a 16:9, which is what Top Gear was for 2 years on the American channel. And because the climax in Doctor Who has come from BBC not screwing around with the American market, surely then the time has come for iPlayer to be deregulated and be used more as a sales channel, if you like, for America, and get it on big platforms like Hulu, like Roku, like Apple TV.
I wonder if they have anything. Obviously, the BBC had a slapdown with all of their online revision websites and a lot of their web content, because they said, well, you know, you're a monopoly supplier, you have effectively bottomless pit of money. And I just wonder whether the, you know, having iPlayer on absolutely everything is a BBC thing where someone at the Beeb has said, well, we can't dominate our content in quite that way.
I think the fact is that the UK have paid for it, so the UK should get it free, but everyone else should pay for it, and they can't find a way of monetizing it through Apple TV because there is no monetization.
Oh, there is.
Yet.
No, I think they haven't even climbed into that thought process.
No, there is, because the two new channels, the music thing that just appeared and the anime thing, are subscription models. No. You get like 7 days free, but then you've got to start paying.
No. What I'm saying,
$4.99 a month.
No, hang on. What I'm saying, Carl, is there are, because you've always had to buy Major League Baseball through Apple TV. There is a payment route. But the BBC hasn't even entered that thought process yet. They're just coming off $100 million of a completely, £100 million rather, of an utterly failed IT project. And then someone says, we're going to try and sell iPlayer through Apple TV in the States, but it's got to be free for the UK. It's a really complicated IT project. There's no one at the BBC who's going to sign that off. They're too scared to death of doing anything that's innovative now with IT.
I doubt if it's the same department, so...
Oh, I bet it goes before the Director General before you spend a shitload of money on something.
But that's what everyone's saying. It is out there. There is. If you want to watch iPlayer in America on your iPhone or iPad, you have to pay, I believe. It's a subscription thing, or you have to make a payment, but for us Brits, we get it for free. So it's in place. Fair, Whatever it needs to be is already in place.
Yeah. Quello's $4.99 a month and Crunchy's $7.99, says Bells, and he doesn't want either of them. Baseball is American rounders, says Batwench.
Girly rounders.
iBookery says, IT is so scary to me. There you go. and the last story, is this a Logitech gaming device for iPhone 5?
Oh, I hope so.
That looks so cool, doesn't it? There's, supposedly that's a lightning connector at the bottom there. You've got four-way directional switching on the right-hand side and a circular directional switch on the left-hand side, and presumably that's a start button below it. And it's got a G on it. I don't know what the G stands for. But are we going to...
Gaming.
Gaming.
Yeah, gaming. There you go.
There's not a lot of... do you remember the Engage? That was it, the Nokia Engage? That was, there was like a slide-out platform and you had a... It was crap, but it, you know, it was a concept, and you thought people would have built on that. I'm surprised we haven't seen a gaming plug-in for the iPhone.
Well, because they haven't had... Like, this time, this one of the things in the new iOS is the gaming control API. So, you know, one of the most annoying things is great. The iPhone's great for gaming and stuff, but you got your, well, I have my big chunky thumbs over the screen, like covering up about 50% of the viewing area.
Yeah.
But if we've got buttons just like an old SNES controller, for example, that'd be fantastic. If they're off to the side, I can see the full acreage of the screen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Play it totally unhindered. And if that works with Apple TV and we get some good. You know, we can sit back on the bed, on the chair, whatever, playing on our SNES-looking controller and controlling, if only, Mario on the screen.
And you're going to get additional information on your phone, perhaps, second screen.
It could be fantastic.
Oh, dear, I've got wood.
I would buy that. I would buy that controller and I would use it. It would be great.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I said.
Yeah. the whole wood thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would look forward to something like that. I think it would be a fun way to play because there's finally enough screen with the 5 that you can actually get an appreciable amount of whatever's happening on your screen. And then to have to cover, you know, a third of that with thumbs or controls or, you know, whatever, then to move that stuff to the outside is probably a really... is probably more appealing to game designers because now they have all the space on the iPhone 5 to really start putting pretty stuff from edge to edge.
And if they launch this when they launch the new phone, like, say, autumn, 4, autumn, whatever, isn't that roughly around the time the brand new Xbox One and the PS4 comes out with their £450 price tags? Well, you just need an Apple TV and this little controller in your iPhone and you've got a games
console. I was just about to say... You give me an iPhone 5 that I've already got anyway, so I haven't got to spend it. Give me my Logitech little plug-in device thingy. Give me an interaction with the Apple TV that gets me have a second screen on my television and on the controller, and release it about the time of the Xbox and the PS4. Get stuffed, Microsoft and Sony. You can see why haven't?
Yeah.
I mean, this would be a killer move for Apple to make this device, not anyone else.
Forget. Not just the iPhone. You've got the iPad Mini. A cracking gaming device, that could be as well.
That's a Wii U waiting to happen.
Right.
But and this one have a built-in camera watching you make out with your girlfriend on the couch.
Hey!
You know, the iOS as gaming console thing, this is something that I've been assuming is coming with iOS 7. Because we have the ability to do the whole AirPlay thing. We will have even... more performance out of the devices, and it sure seems to me the easiest way to take over the gaming console market, or at least take a big chunk of it, is to take the devices that so many people already have and make those the gaming consoles. So we can have really powerful gaming consoles in our pockets that also happen to include a web browser, email, and you can make phone calls.
Stick a Murphy juice back on the back of it and you're laughing. I mean, do you feel, Jeff, that Apple are missing the trick here?
Making phone calls, Jeff?
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot about that.
Sometimes you can make phone calls. Sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't think Apple's missing out on anything yet.
No. Sometimes.
My guess is that
you can make
planning.
Most of a phone call.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, making phone calls with the iPhone. What?
That's innovative.
Yeah, huh? Crazy.
No, Jeff, you don't think they're missing out yet, but
do
I think
you have a jailbreak for that?
No.
Yeah.
I think they're missing out.
I don't think they're missing out yet. And and if they wait past this holiday season to roll out some form of gaming console features for the iOS devices and for the Apple TV, then they're missing out.
Mm. Good stuff. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're bloody marvellous. Why aren't you with UK2 if you're not? You should be. They're superb. I like having Kyle in the middle screen because it stops him poking his frigging head round the corner and pulling faces during the sponsor's advert.
It does not stop me talking, though. Sorry. B.
If you haven't got
B43.
A web interface, if you need a web... I'm talking shit now. If you need a web address, then you need to go to uk2.net because they're brilliant. If you need any web service, co-location services, web hosting, website builders for making drag-and-drop websites that have even got shopping carts on them, so easy, then UK2 have got it all in one place for you. And there is offer codes that we hold that will get you a huge chunk off anything that they charge you. They're reasonably good on price to start with. Then you're going to get the offer codes off. You must go through our website, though, for us to get the kudos, britishnetwork.com and the sponsors link. And then just use the offer codes, buy what you want to buy, and we will get the credit for it. We've got a long-standing relationship with UK2 now. It's been 3 years. We've got another 2 years coming up guaranteed. Craig is probably going to be at the bash, so you can say how much you love it. Batwinch tweeted out this morning saying how much he loved it. James Hart had a little bit of an issue, raised a technical support ticket this week. 30 minutes later, it's up and running. It's working just fine. They're a great firm. They're a nice bunch of people as well as, so you should support them on that basis alone, but you also keep us afloat, so do give them a bit of a plug for us. Thanks very much. And the bash is coming up. Everyone here is coming to the bash, apart from Kyle and Kelly, I think.
Yes. Yep, I'll be there.
Jeff is still working on it?
I'm still working on it. Okay. Yes.
But the bash is going to occur on the 6th of July, 2013. It's a Saturday. There's tons of fun. Loads of fun can be had. If you want a hotel for the night, then you need one in the B46 or B36 area of Birmingham within a sort of a 3 mile radius of that. There's a taxi firm on the ticket. If you scan the QR code, it'll show you the taxi firm. That taxi will cost you £3 or £4 to get to the venue. It's not that expensive at all. Any kids under 12 will come free of charge. All the food's booked, all the beer's booked, all the fun is booked, the hotel and the venue's booked. All you got to do is buy a ticket and show up. Come to the bash. It's £30 for a ticket if you want one, but I'm willing to give you it for 20 if you send me an email, and you're a committed listener, of course. I'll give you a cheaper one. And we've got another sponsor who's promised a bit of an influx of cash. 12 South are giving away a pile of Mac products. I've got a box full of them in the other room. They're coming down with me. There's giveaways for those, but you've got to be there on the day. They're not being given away because we're not broadcasting. I've also got some stuff from Insanely Great Products, and I've also got some stuff from someone else, and I've got a prize which is really well worth coming for. It's right up there. So if you want to come to the bash, book your ticket. You need to come now. 70 people booked for the bash, 30 people booked nearly for the curry, and the restaurant only holds 34. So you're going to need to get that booking in as fast as you can if you want to come.
Also, you and my team is going to kick your team's butt.
I'm doing the Xbox 360 team, which is, that's by the virtue of the fact I own an Xbox 360, because I know sod all else about it. So,
and I'm on the retro gamer because I'm apparently
old. That's
not
fair. I asked for it. I asked for the ZX Spectrum team. Who are we kidding? We're all going to get our asses kicked by Chiz.
Yes, I know.
It's everyone versus Chiz. So
he could get stage fright though. Could be funny.
No, he won't. He'll just kick our asses everywhere. He'll win. And don't forget as well, now that Mr. Madden's reminded me because he's there, our communities page is on Google+. I've got to say, having the communities page has reinvigorated Google+ for me. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm really, really impressed with what Carl's done. Thanks, mate. It looks absolutely great. There's loads of people interacting. We've got a couple of hundred members now across the channels. All you got to do is sign into your Google+ account and then type in The Big Show, The Gamer Show, The iOS Show, The Mac Show, The Media Show, The Photo Show, and you'll get through to the community. Sign up to it, and you can start sparring with all the other people. It's kind of like a little mini forum. It's brilliant. Really love it. So thanks, Carl. Well done, mate. Great job on those. Carl administers them. Get in there and say what you want to say and have some fun. It's absolutely brilliant. And we've had some reviews, I forgot to say. The reviews. We got one here from Macassi, who says, I'm pretty late to the whole podcasting thing, despite being a Mac user of 25 years. However, once I started listening to podcasts, it didn't take me long to come across Ewan and the gang. What a great bunch they are, and what a brilliant show they put on time and time again. I love this gang now, and I'm really a regular listener to The Big Show, The Mac Show, The iOS Show, and more. Can't recommend it highly enough. Saranac. Good name. And Tim has said also, if you're looking for something that's tech-based but without the geek factor, you've found it. The BTN show is entertaining, amusing, and informed. I listen to The Big Show and The Mac Show on my daily train commute and enjoy the light-hearted discussion and banter. It's great that I found shows from the UK that's of general interest to Apple users, and the hosts never take themselves too seriously. I may have read that last week, but I've forgotten. I've slept since then. Right. Cool things. It's time for the cool things. And I reckon that Kelly's probably got the cool thing that I was going to say. So, Don, start us off, buddy.
Well, I don't know if I've done this one before, but I'm not sure if my video is still holding up as well as it was before. But seeing as it was so good to begin with, I'm going to suggest webcam settings. It's a plugin that you will sort of support any USB camera.
I am using it now.
And the new version, they've done a change to the new version, because when using Skype, you used to lose the settings every so often. But with the new version, you can actually refresh the settings like every half a second. So even if Skype does a refresh, it puts it back for you. So it's a bit, it's not pricey, it's Fiverr. But for the job it does, it's well worth it.
And the developer is actually a friend of Jodamax.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, we have recommended it before, but I'll just sound that out again. I'll second on there on that one. It is superb. One of the problems that we get is because we've got fluorescent lights. Energy savers up here. You get a lot of flicker off those. So right. The flicker looks horrific when those are on, and you can actually change the frequency manually on webcam settings that will let you change it between 50 hertz and 60 hertz, so it gets rid of the flicker.
Yeah, and you can do some clever things. Like I've got a Logitech, I think it's a 920, and you can from the control panel, you can tilt it, you can pan it, you can zoom in and out, and then you can save those settings for a particular application. So I just have a set of settings for Skype, load that up, and it's great.
Excellent. Good pick.
From the Mac App Store.
Second that pick, mate. Excellent job. Jeff, do you have anything for us, sir?
I do, and I figured since everyone else decided they wanted to whip out their cables today, I'll go ahead and whip mine out, too. And mine is the retractable Skosh Lightning to USB cable. And this thing extends out. Kelly, how long do these cables get?
I want to say it's 3 feet. I could be mistaken.
That sounds a long way. Yeah, about 3 feet. So anyhow, retractable Lightning USB, and they are $20.
Excellent.
And it's from Skosh.
Good brand as well. Kelly,
welcome, Jeff.
Yes, thank you, Kelly.
The truth will out.
I dragged him over to the booth at Macworld, and I said, "You need to meet my friend at Skosh, and you need to see this cable because this cable is awesome." Because as we've already covered, I'm a person who's very excited about an awesome cable, and so Jeff went. You're right. This is awesome. I will buy one on the spot, and so he did. And the one. Incidentally, the one that I showed off earlier with the two ends on the one side that's 30-pin and also micro USB is also a Skosh cable.
Oh, look at
the really
cables
solidly
on that.
Built. I don't want anything else. Anyway, my pick is my microphone, which I'm now going to completely screw up by picking it up and holding it in the camera. This is the Nessie from Blue Microphone, and it's beautiful, and it has some really great settings. The things I like about it best are there's a light at the base, and if you hit the mute button, then the light flashes until you unmute yourself so that you know that you're muted. The base rotates to give you the volume on your headphones. It uses a micro USB cable, which is awesome because you don't have to have anything fiddly. It's just a plain USB cable. And it also has internal shock mounts, so when I'm typing, you don't hear the thump of it. And I don't have to mount some big crazy arm for my microphone. And in the United States, I don't know what this translates to for pricing in the rest of the world, it is a $99 microphone.
£5.
That's probably about right.
£75, but that's going to cost us £90 over here anyway. So
in actual money, it'll be some other amount. But the mute button on the front is great. I really like the flexibility of the adjustment of the head on the microphone. And all in all, it is great. I'm so in love with it right now. It's very, very exciting. And on top of that, you guys complimented me on how great
sounds
I sounded this
good.
Morning.
Yeah.
So I know the sound quality is great. So the output is good, and it itself is wonderful. So if you're somebody, having used this just this morning for this show, I would wholeheartedly recommend this to anybody who's looking to podcast and wants something a bit more than the internal mic on their pack-in headphones or the mic on their computer. I would say absolutely get one.
At $99 and the quality that it sounds like, just even down a crappy Skype line, I think it's a good buy. Yeah, good choice. Excellent, mate. DHM, what do you have?
I have an iOS app, which is free.
Ooh.
Which is always good. Now, I mean, with iTunes on the Mac and on your phone and everything like that, I mean, obviously Apple brought us the late lamentable ping as a their idea of what music, social network and show should be. But, I mean, for goodness sake, no brainer. You've got, you're on your phone, you're listening to music. You want to go Twitter, this is what I'm listening to. I mean, Spotify does it, radio does it, everything does it. iTunes, they don't do it. Anyway, Soundwave.
Oh, all right, because Windrider in the chat room was going to suggest it was Music Wiper.
I haven't done my own app as a pick for quite a while, have I?
Okay.
Album Wiper. There you go. And yes, available along with other apps in the App Store. However, this is not it. This is a Soundwave, and basically you buy it, it's free, you download it, you sign in, and it links in. Yummy.
Maybe.
It links in to your to the music player on your iPhone, and it just keeps a note of what you're playing. And it's a bit of, you can search for friends and see what they're listening to, and they can get updates to what you're listening to. And you can draw little circles around maps, and you can say who was listening to what in this area. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, it's brand newish on the store. I think Bono had something to do with it, so we're not going to hold that against it. Because he's a shit.
moving on.
But, God.
But apart from that, I would like with the drinking social network, it's going to live or die on people that you know and you respect and you feel that are going to be influenced and like to know what you're listening to and vice versa.
Okay.
Are on, and of course nobody on here is on it, so I invite you all to join on Soundwave. And we can hear what we're all listening to.
Will do, mate. Well done. Carl, what do you have for us, mate?
I've got an iOS game this week, and it meets two prerequisites that two members of this panel have. And that's one, first one, Kyle's, because it's free.
Okay.
And the second one is you, is because it meets your morning
motion.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thing. So what it is, it's Dumb Ways to Die. Okay, and all it is... there's a bunch of silly little games which are trying to teach you safety. I don't know what bees have got to do with safety on the railways and stuff. So you get these little mini games that you have to quickly fill out. And it gets faster and faster and faster until you foul, and then you die.
Dumb ways to die.
And it's got a famous music video apparently as well, and it's at number one in a lot of the iTunes charts because it's such a catchy tune.
All right.
But it's free, and it's totally, it's out there, and it's good fun. And it's highly addictive. It gets faster and faster and faster as you do well, until in the end it's insane.
Excellent.
Did you not get the song from my beautiful rendition then?
No.
That was what it was, wasn't it?
My daughter's been playing that app solidly for a week. It is addictive.
Yes.
You lost me at Bono's a shite.
Other members of U2 may or not be.
Kyle, what do you have for us?
My pick's also a free app this week, and it's called PicLab, and it's essentially what it is. It has filter effects and these kind of things. It is free up until a point. You can pay 99 cents for it. I haven't done it yet because I've yet to get paid at the end of the month. So when I get paid, I get the 99 cents. But you can take a picture of it. Then you can add text, you can edit the text, you can move the text. I don't know if you can see that where you want it. The free version does have a little watermark in it, which says PicLab on it.
And there's, with the 99 cents, you get more filters, you get more effects, and I think more text also. It's just a nice little easy, if you want to, you know, add a little pizzazz to your pictures before you stick them on Instagram or something as such, it does the job. It's quite good, and I think it's worth the 99 cents.
Excellent. Thank you, mate. Good job. Mm-hmm. Mine, I have no clue how much it costs because I bought it in a bit of a panic, I have to say. Do you remember SoundSource? That's from Rogue Amoeba, and it used to allow you to set the sound card that you had outputted. But I installed it because I hadn't got it installed on my laptop. So I put it on my laptop because I wanted to select my sound source. And it went, doesn't work with Mountain Lion. Oh, now what am I going to do? And I went to the Mac App Store, and I found Audio Switcher. I do recall it wasn't particularly expensive.
It's free.
It's free. There we go, then. Even better.
That's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very affordable price.
It does the same thing, but what's actually cooler by some significant distance is the fact you've got volume sliders as well, which you can individually manipulate on each of the sound sources that you've got. Now, when you're talking about using a digital sound card, so if you've got a PreSonus external sound card, like I've got on my Mac Pro, then you've got no ability to change the volume whatsoever other than to lean over and twiddle the dials. With this, you can actually change the digital sound card volume as well as remotely from the desktop, which is what I've been missing for a while. So Audio Switcher, it's free in the Mac App Store, and it's friggin' awesome. And I'd have paid $5.99 for it, but don't tell the developer. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Mac Alistair?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials, over on the magazine place, what's that called? Oh, Newsstand. Screencast Online Monthly, the new edition will be out probably next weekend. And also over on Twitter as Don McAllister and app.net as Don McAllister 2.
Good read it is too, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Jeff?
You can find me at macobserver.com and on Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamet at both places. Excuse me. You can find me at Fresh Brew Tales, where I talk about all the ridiculous stuff I see at coffee shops. And you can also find me on The Big Show.
Yes.
Apple Context Machine, Apple Weekly Report, and a few other shows.
Alex,
and thanks for having me on.
Alex is correcting me. He says that SoundSource 2.5 does work with Mountain Lion. You just must have had an old copy. But my pick is still a good one. Thanks, mate. Kelly, where are you, mate?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me over at the unofficial Apple weblog, where I host the Tua Talkcast. And you can also occasionally find me on Angry Mac Bastards. And sometimes when you can't get hold of Jeff, I end up hosting on another show on this network. And the regular show that I appear on this network otherwise with some of the people who are here with us today is The Comic Show, which is up to issue 4.
And I
forgot to do that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we're having a complete blast. And the community stuff has been really fun over on G+. I've been checking it out. And so far it's been a lot of fun. And I don't read every comic that comes out every week. I don't actively seek out a whole lot of them. And so the fact that these guys let me stay on the show is very pleasing to me. So, yeah, check out The Comic Show right here on this very network.
As you can see, DHM sodded off just that was that bling one.
Come a call from Dr. Happy Mac.
Oh, but he's back.
It's the wrath of Bono.
That's his ISP provider. Bonovision.
Oh, no.
DHM, where can we get a hold of you?
Quick, before Bono comes local, for you.
At the local bingle club.
Dr. Happy Mac, don't tell if some arrogant Irish knob comes bursting in. Where's that Dr. Happy Mac gone to then? There, where is he? Oh, I get potatoes.
There goes the Irish listenership.
Any more audience?
Thank God you're not an MEP. I think, at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter was all I was really looking for. But
and The Comic Show, which, as Kelly correctly pointed out, is brilliant.
4 will be published. So
when is the episode 4 going up, Ewan?
It will go up imminently.
Yay!
Imminently.
I've processed it. It's all ready. I did it all. I promise. And Abbott and Costello, where are you?
Go ahead.
Hey, go ahead, Bert. Go ahead, Bert.
Oh, well. He's just pointed.
Right. Hang on. You can get me a hold of me on Twitter at Clausio101 or in Google Communities in our various communities and on the Here and There show whenever we manage to get together and do one.
Excellent. And Mr. Swagger.
Yeah, just find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G, of course. And you can also find me on Sesame Street. Me and Bert.
Can you two kiss? Go on.
No!
Go on, kiss.
No way.
Go on, kiss.
Not till you send the checks.
Last time he slipped tongue, so.
Go on, kiss. Go on.
No, what sort of weird thing do you
high want? Five, then. High five.
I don't know how we do that. Hang on. Okay, we'll try the high five.
You ready? Three, two, one. Oh, that's pathetic. Jesus Christ. I'm working with amateurs here. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Max Shell will be back next week. I might be on Thursday because I might be working next Friday, but the guy hasn't confirmed it, so I'll have to let you know. Everyone all right for Thursday?
Yeah.
I'd be, yeah.
Cool. We'll have another sixth go. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
But cheerio.
That wasn't a Hitler salute. Pervert. That was just kind of like...
Yeah, freaking pervert.
What have I done now?
God, it's so hot in this room. You think it's
sorry, Bert.
Is it hot here?
Sorry, Bert.
I mean, really?
No, Bert, it's you, man.
Oh, thank you.
I have a meeting I have to get to, so Sam.